So, 142 million people tuned in to the halftime show, which is an all-time record. Last year it was set by Kendrick Lamar at 135 or so million, and so Bad Bunny now holds that record for the most people ever tuned in to a halftime presentation.
And I did see a funny clip of a, I think this probably was from prior to Sunday, but it was a clip of a comedian, and he was talking about the halftime show, and he was saying that for those of you who thought that Kendrick Lamar was too black, how about no English? And then I had somebody tweet me, wait until they do K-pop next year.
Well, no, that's exactly it. I mean, where do you think, look, the NFL, for all the bitching and haranguing and moaning that's gone on over the last couple of months concerning this, just take a step back, just calm down, just relax a little bit, sit in your chair, and think about it this way.
Definitely not calming down, so don't tell me what to do.
Sorry, sir.
You can't tell me what to do.
The NFL is a global entity. The NFL is, they want to become an even more so global entity. There's a reason that they started dipping their toes into these European games. There's a reason.
And now South America and Mexico.
And they're playing a game in Australia this coming year. They're everywhere. And so to get the most popular artist in the world, if it's Taylor Swift 1A, then Bad Bunny 1B, or vice versa, you know, depending
well,
on...
Well, he passed her this year.
Yeah, I mean, just depending on how you look at it, there are several metrics out there, but he is a massive, massive artist. And I was at a function last night with some friends over at their house, and the game was the game, a field goal fest, you know,
until snoozer of a first half,
until the fourth quarter opened up. And the buzz around, because there was a group of girls that were there that were my buddy's daughter, who's 24, 25 ish.
Oh, yeah.
And all of her friends were there. Well, this was a massive, massive moment in which we had to keep things down. The TVs in every room were cranked up to 11 to get ready for this. I talked to my sons, and same thing. This was the moment that they have been waiting for. And they loved it, and everybody loved it at the watching party. And the thing that you just got to get through, if you're a 45-year-old or 55 or 65-year-old dude, the days of Tom Petty and Paul McCartney and the Stones and the legacy acts that they put out there for about 12 years straight, that's gone. Now, I'm not saying it can't come back as a one-off, but that's gone. And
yeah, I mean, Rock Nation is booking the Super Bowl now.
Right. And they want it to be mass appeal. And, you know, I don't remember hearing anybody bitching about Springsteen when Springsteen played.
I think you could find that, though.
Okay, but I mean, Bruce is very out there. I mean, Born in the USA is an anti-Vietnam War song.
No, but I guess what I'm saying is I think the people that would push back on that is people who would say, at the time he's doing it, he's not relevant. This is for old people, right?
Yeah, but I mean,
you like music for old people, Corby. Admit it.
No.
You are an old person.
I none of this is for me.
Right.
I just said that.
No. But what I'm saying is when Springsteen was playing, or when U2 was playing, or and even Prince, people are like, anybody under the age of 35 does not care about this.
Right.
And if we're trying to grow the game or grow the business,
yep,
appealing to people who are certainly, you know, Gen Z or so is probably far more beneficial than people who are already in
100%
inside the fence. Like honestly, I don't care about the commercials that much. I'll watch them, especially if made to, and the halftime is something to grab a plate and sit down and see if I care about it or not. But the amount of time people spend debating, arguing, and caring who plays halftime
It's unbelievable.
It's really, really remarkable to me. And some years I've cared, and some years I've cared about the act. Some years I haven't. This is a year where I've literally seen my first Bad Bunny performance
ever
in real time. And I'm guessing most of America, who at least watches football every weekend, is right there with me. I don't know how big that Venn diagram is of hardcore Bad Bunny people and hardcore NFL people.
Well,
I don't know.
It's an age thing.
Probably.
And so people that are 25 and 35 are clearly way more into it than we would ever be. And that's what it's for. And that's okay. It's okay that a flock of seagulls didn't play the Super Bowl. Because you liked them in high school, right? It's not for our demographic. We were talking about this last night with my buddies who are 50 years old and above. Our demographic, you know what advertise? People come after us for boner pills and hair replacement and hip replacement. That's what we're done. We're done.
Well, I would say for the most part, the entire machine operates on making people upset. So if you can enrage your, and we even now describe it as your base, like we have to enrage our base to keep them active and keep them wanting to mobilize. And, you know, and again, I don't want to both sides, whatever, but I do feel like there are two distinct sides who are worried about getting, you know, outvoted or outclassed or whatever in this dumb culture war. And so, yes, anything that happens has to be now debated.
And so
even as I'm watching this guy for the first time, I'm thinking to myself, I'm kind of watching it through the lens of what is going to be the thing that outrages people that want to be outraged. Like what? So I'm actually sitting there watching it and I'm waiting. Okay. Is he going to wear a dress? Okay.
No.
Okay. Here's a marriage. Is this going to be a gay marriage? What is going to be the catnip on Monday of this entire thing? And I got to tell you, in watching it,
suggestive dancing.
Welcome to pop music. Wow. And pretty girls. No way.
And alleged filthy lyrics, if you believe those translations.
Which is really shocking after seeing Prince live at the Super Bowl. I can't believe anybody would have suggestive lyrics right up till last year, right? With Kendrick Lamar, he cusses in his music. What is this all about, guys?
I'm
under the impression society doesn't believe in cussing.
Look, for the 15 minutes that it was on, I had a blast watching it. I know nothing about the guy.
Yeah.
I thought the presentation itself was awesome. I thought we were looking at some sort of, you want to play some of
it? I like grass.
No.
I like grass.
I was just going to say that was my takeaway. Like I'm never going to listen to Bad Bunny of my own volition.
Right.
I'll listen to it if I'm at a Latin restaurant and they're playing it, or if I'm like at a beach resort, that would be the perfect place to listen to it. But I enjoyed it 1,000 times more than Maroon 5.
You're right.
100%.
I thought that the staging was maybe the best ever. Like just
It felt like the Weeknd walking through the mirror thing.
Yeah,
right?
the technical achievement.
It was really cool.
The technical achievement of the sets and the camera work and the angles, the overhead angles, the handheld angles. I thought it was terrific. And he was singing live.
I imagine the goal is to not make it feel like you're at a football stadium, but to make it feel like he's taking you somewhere. And maybe
it was a journey through
maybe even taking you to
Caribbean,
Puerto Rican
life.
And honestly, that was cool as heck in terms of the production. Do I have any idea what he was saying? No, but I will say, very excited to find out that he was goofing on LeBron with J.J. Barea as one of the Puerto Rican points of great pride when he pointed out that Barea was a champion before LeBron. I would say whatever letter grade you had on Bad Bunny, the fact that he knows and champions J.J. Barea over LeBron, that is a extra letter grade for you, good sir.
But I mean, it looked like a long Scorsese shot.
Poor LeBron's just sitting there.
Right.
Of course.
I don't think he understood.
Probably didn't understand.
Yeah, nobody did. Sure. But yeah, it seemed like a long, like a Goodfellas shot. Like the you got the one camera and it's just the one-y that they did in the right. In the studio.
One-er.
The one-er. Yeah, yeah. Like it was really, really well done, and it was super fun, and it was super positive and light, and everybody in there like was dancing their ass off or smiling and having a good time. And
yeah, it was about joy and having fun and unity. And if you get twisted about that, then you have a preconceived notion about what it was supposed to be.
Exactly. And I, you know, from a Bad Bunny perspective, you know, he's really good friends with Adam Sandler, because most people that watched Happy Gilmore 2.
Where was Opera Man then?
He was there.
He should have been on.
He was there.
Instead, Lady Gaga sparing us to death.
Yeah, I didn't know what she was doing there, but whatever.
How great did Ricky Martin look?
I know. How old is he?
Has he had work
yet? He's in his late 50s?
I think he's had work.
Oh, he surely has. But, I mean, and we've seen him in Palm Royale, so we know that he is aging incredibly gracefully. But, man, he looked good.
So, but where was all the bitching and moaning when Happy Gilmore 2 came out? That how dare Adam Sandler let Bad Bunny be one of the three main stars of that movie? How dare he? No one said a word. All the same people watched it. It was a huge pop
because
culture
this
piece.
This is our institution, and we're culture warring, Corby.
It's just so ridiculous. And again, what if Taylor Swift would have played? Are we okay with that?
Of course not. I'd like to think both sides of the aisle could all agree that who cares? Was it fun? Sure. Was it halftime? Sure.
But you're never going to get that.
Let's get on with our life.
You'll never get that.
Yeah, I guess. And I just.
But yeah, BTS is probably, if BTS, who's on a world tour starting next year or this year.
Yeah.
If they get the gig next year, I mean, are we going to have this? What's some Chinese doing over here?
I think.
Like, what are we doing?
I think who plays Super Bowl halftime conversations are a lot like a car full of ticket guys saying, where should we go eat? And you're going to have five suggestions from five people, and the other four are going to think you're crazy, and you're finally going to say, all right, well, I guess that one's not too upsetting. So you just end up, like, there's not going to be, oh, man, I never thought of that. That's the perfect act to play the Super Bowl. And guess what? We're going to have this exact same conversation again next year. And then again, you know, there's one of these every year. So the idea that we will have this perfect act ascend from the heavens or descend, I suppose, and let us all know that this is the proper way to do a Super Bowl halftime. I would just like to say, can we all agree on who cares?
Yeah,
it was fine.
It's inconsequential.
Yeah.
Can I give you a handful of fun facts about the halftime show before we go?
We got to talk grass.
Pedro Pascal was in it.
Yeah, that's the first thing. So the casita where everyone was dancing. You know, they had kind of that Puerto Rican main street with the barber shop and all that stuff, the liquor store. Then they go to the casita, and celebrities that were in that crowd included Alex Earl, who we talked about earlier.
AC Earl.
Carol G, Cardi B, Jessica Alba, and yes, Pedro Pascal. Also, as he was working his way through, you saw he got like a shaved ice, and then he gave it to the guy that was standing behind the taco stand.
Yeah.
That is a real taco stand in LA. It's a guy named Victor Villa of Villa's Tacos.
That is cool.
And they are like have lines around the block today.
No way.
Because of the exposure in the Super Bowl. Also, there was the Tonita. She is the owner of the Caribbean Social Club in Brooklyn. She's the one who gave him the rum shot. And so she is like, she's in her 80s, and that's like the last Puerto Rican social club remaining in the U.S. And so that was a cool nod to the culture as well. Also, you mentioned the wedding. It was a real wedding that they invited him to their wedding. And he said, I can't make it. I got to play the Super Bowl, but you guys want to get married at halftime?
That's so cool. That was real?
It was real. And so they were married live. And then if you notice, if you go back and watch, Bad Bunny was their witness as they exchanged their final vows. And then he signed their marriage certificate.
Wow.
So pretty awesome. And
that's a lot of choreography, man.
And you mentioned the plants with legs. So all the sugar cane.
Amazing.
So the reason they did that is they only had so many dollies, so many vehicles to bring the set pieces out and assemble it in the 8 minutes or seven
did
minutes
you hear
they
this?
Had.
Yeah.
And so instead of wasting time and space unloading real plants, they just had people dress up as sugarcane. And so those were all people in suits. And my major disappointment was
they didn't all start dancing.
That they didn't start dancing at the end.
I see. They sort of spoiled it a little bit before the presentation. Maybe they meant to, but there was probably no way to show it without the logistical. Oh, those. That's actually a person. But then I'm like, oh, we're going to have a scene where everybody starts dancing and all the grass starts dancing, which is really what we all want in life is inanimate objects start dancing. But,
that is the funny scene though. If you haven't seen it yet, look up the plants walking to their places.
Like that seems like one I would have applied for if I was out there.
I know. What a good gig.
I'll just stand there. I promise. I won't do anything.
And then the button on the whole thing at the end as they're all walking towards the camera. And all of the flags, he shouts out, he says, God bless America, but then he name checks every country in the Americas, North, Central, and South America. And then at the end on the Levi's billboard on the scoreboard was, the only thing more powerful than hate is love. And that was his message when he was, talking about what he wanted to present in the halftime. And I thought he did it.
Well, yeah. Yes. If I may complain, he had the football that said, "Together we are America," and he didn't hold it.
No.
You got to do the Heisman thing where you
hold the pose.
Because everybody had to get a quick screen grab to say, what does the football say? Because that was one of the great mysteries. But the most divisive, unpatriotic thing somebody can say is, "Together we are America," then... I guess guilty as charged. That sounds like a really, really serious charge.
Pretty radical.
I was puzzled that he was wearing shoulder pads under his suit, but that was...
I was wondering where he was going with that. I wondered, there a reveal of his dress
that we were
promised. So there's no reason that such a patriotic event needs to be stained by a cross-dressing singer who hardly speaks English.
I'm sorry that it didn't work out for
Where
you.
Where was that? Why did I read that?
It was a John Rocker tweet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, shout out to John Rocker.